structural issues, he sniffed. By structural issues, he means convincing Congress to take no action to help consumers by reforming the present pricing structure of monopolistic drug makers, whose guiding corporate ethic is, bleed them for all they've got. This is Jim Hightower saying, so this is a surreptitious PR campaign meant to reach only the eyes and ears of policy elites. The goal is to have Congress, once again, ignore what the people want it to do, thus allowing the corporate few who matter to keep fleecing the many. The word for this is plutocracy.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
This is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century, hosted today by myself, Tamara, and Miss Sky Lee. And we're going to continue on talking about love and friendship. Oh, sorry, no, love and relationships. I gave you a spoiler. So we're going to be talking a little bit about friendship. But love and relationships. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show to discuss the philosophical to practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connections with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. Going to be an interesting full hour. Call in and join the conversation, 895-1114.
Hush, little darling, don't you cry. Every little thing's gonna be alright. Don't worry, don't be afraid. Every little thing's gonna be okay. Open up your heart, unlock the cage. Turn the key and break the chains. Love will always find a way. If you want love, you gotta give love away. And life is living. Living is love, and love is giving. When we live for love, it gives life meaning. When we live to give love, there's no greater feeling. This feeling of kindness and love's inside us. Nobody can sell this or try to buy this, cause love is priceless, and it guides us, lifts us up, and ignites us. Love can bind us and remind us. Love has no limit, cause love is timeless. Hate and fear will try to blind us, but love unites us. Nobody can fight this, cause love is righteous, and it might just save the whole world from this global crisis. Just throw your hands up if you know what the time is. Open up your heart and let it shine the brightest. Philosophy is when we live to give love with generosity, giving consciously and constantly. When we all give love, there's no stopping. We just open up the door and let your love pour. When you open up to love, you can never be poor.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by one of Chico's newest restaurants, Rollo's West at 234 West 3rd Street in the heart of downtown. Rollo's West offers small and large plates, Maryland-style shrimp, blue crab cakes, a wine bar, charcuterie, and artisanal cheeses. Rollo West is open from 5 to 9 p.m. until 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. For more information, visit them on Facebook or call 530-636-4468. Welcome to today's edition of Love in the 21st Century. Today we are here to talk about friendship. Last week we talked about relationships and romantic relationships specifically. So this week we're going to talk a little bit about friendship. So who are the people you are friends with? Where do you find your friends? How is a friendship maintained through things like family, work, distance, you know, all those little life things that come up? I do want to make a disclaimer just real quickly. I did reach out to some of my male friends, however, was unable to get one on the air. So we are a room full of women today, and we will be talking about issues related to friendship and women. I noticed that for me personally, when I was younger, I had a ton of male friends, but it seems like as I've gotten older, the amount of male friends that I have has dwindled. I'm not sure what that is all about, but that is what is happening. So today we are going to be talking to a couple friends of mine, Tara and Leah and Crystal. And so I'm going to have them introduce themselves and why they are on the radio with us today. So why don't we go ahead and start with Crystal. Crystal, are you there? Hello? The red light has to be on. All right, well, we will actually go with someone else then. Leah, why don't you tell us why you are here today?
Hi, my name's Leah. I'm here to talk about what it's like maintaining friendships as a single parent working a full-time job.
All right, so you're here to talk about how you maintain friendship through things like raising children and having a job and doing it solo.
Having to balance it all. Yes.
Yes. Yes, that sounds like it would be kind of difficult at times.
It is. You very much feel like you have to be able to split yourself in half at times, but it's all about finding a balance and making sure that you place yourself as important as your children and your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of, you know, you get your sea legs after a while.
Okay.
It's a balancing act.
Okay. And so how do you manage to balance, you know, taking care of your kids and then maintaining, you know, your friendships?
A lot of it, I think, has to do with, again, just finding that balance and making sure that you take self-care into consideration and realize that your wants and needs as a parent are just as important as the wants and needs of your children. Your relationships and your friendships as a single parent, I think, are more important because those are the people you lean on and depend on to help you out because you don't have a partner living at home with you. And it's just, you know, you have to find ways to incorporate your children into your everyday life and realize that it doesn't have to be separate. And you can do things with your friends, with your kids, and then you can have, you know, it's okay to get a babysitter once mm-hmm. in a while and go have some fun because, you know, when you do that and you have friendships and you have those connections, that makes you feel happy, which makes you a better parent, I think.
Yeah, and I know from personal experience being friends that oftentimes when we do things, we do them with your kids,
yep.
And we
mm-hmm.
also do them without your kids.
Exactly.
So we also have Tara. Tara's in the studio with us, and why don't you let us know who you are and why you're here?
Yeah, okay. Thank you for having me, first of all. But I am here today to give the perspective of maintaining friendships while you have a... you had said anybody with a psychiatric problem, but I have specifically generalized anxiety disorder. So I tend to over-worry and I over-analyze everything, which can be very difficult for maintaining friendships, specifically in the long term, and finding new friends.
Yeah, I would imagine that struggling with any sort of mental health related issues is difficult for maintaining friendships at times. So where do you tend to find your friends?
Well, I think it helps that I'm in school right now. I'm at Chico State, and I have an amazing cohort with social workers. So most of my friends right now are through there and through the gym at school, which is anywhere that I try to stay social at.
Good, good. Is Crystal, are you on the air?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yay! So, Chris, go ahead.
So I'm Crystal, and I'm joining today to give my perspective. I think I have a little bit of a different one, which is awesome for us to have all of these. Uprooted my life from Chico about 3 years ago and did not have the easiest time finding friends when I moved to to a new city in New Mexico for about a year. So maintaining my friendships with those that I have long distance was really important to me because I didn't have a network of friends out here.
How are you able to do that? How are you able to maintain those long distance friendships?
I can't say I've always been the best at it, but I would definitely say staying in contact with those people that are really close to me has been important, whether it's through social media or phone. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Yeah, I know that you and I try and, you know, connect as much as possible on the telephone. However, it doesn't always work out that way. And I know that I, for one, am very grateful for social media and technology. I feel like as far as my long-term friendships are concerned, that both of those things have been very important in maintaining those friendships.
Agreed.
Yeah. So I would like to know, what exactly does friendship mean to you all?
I think that
I would say for me, it's somebody who accepts you with all of your faults, and also somebody who is willing to check you, in a sense, when you need to be, because we don't always all make the best decisions 100% of the time. And so I think a true friend is someone that can tell you, hey, you're screwing up.
Yeah, I think honesty and, openness is very important when we're talking about what a friend is. Absolutely. What about you, Leah?
I think that a friendship can be any kind of supportive relationship. Anybody that you can turn to and talk to about your life, or that, influences your life in a positive way. It could be anybody. Some of my greatest relationships and friendships are with, my elders. I also have a lot of male friends, product of growing up with an older brother, I think. But I also recently, throughout this last year and becoming a single parent, have definitely nurtured some very loving, wonderful, strong female friendships, which has been really important and good for me, too. But I think it's anything that makes you feel supportive and it's reciprocal.
Mm-hmm. And Tara, what about you? What do you think that friendship means, or what does that mean to you?
For me, it means something, I think, a little bit different. It's people who not only let me know when I'm, like what Crystal said, is when you're maybe not on the right track. But for me, it's more letting me know when I'm on the right track and when I'm doing things right and supporting me through my major faults that I tend to have. It's not easy being friends with somebody that has an anxiety problem. Mm-hmm. They will back out of everything. Mm. Specifically, I will back out of everything if given the chance, but that openness and support and kind of somebody that just lets me know that if I do go downhill, that they're going to be right there with me.
Mm. So essentially somebody that's lifting you up. Is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, on both sides. So it sounds like we actually have a caller who would like to weigh in on the issue of friendship. So, hi, Mona.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Great. Thank you for calling in. What can we? What can you share with us today?
Well, first of all, I wanted to apologize because I just have been tuning into your show for the last couple of weeks, and the first call I made, I didn't even know I was on the air. But I analyzed myself, as I do, and I realized I was coming from a place of hostility, and love and friendship to me is love. Love mm-hmm. makes the world go round.
Okay.
And I know the defects of it. It's like criticism doesn't cut it.
That is true. I think that
love, just love and appreciation of love and sharing love.
Okay.
And sharing love ignites souls because they're from love.
I would agree.
And so I just want to apologize for my hostility place it came from because I'm damaged like all of us. But I just wanted to thank you for sharing. And all I know is that love makes the world go round. And therefore, anything I can put into loving anybody or anything is precious. Because we're taught to be I'm a very critical thinker. And I can criticize stuff to the bone. But it's damaging. And that's why I love listening to KZFR.
Okay.
Because, you all are coming from a place of love. And I just wanted to share that in my experience, I can't do anything but love to make love generate.
And I think that is very fitting for the topic of love in the 21st century, Mona. And I want to thank you so much for calling in, and I will pass on your message. So thank you for and have a great day.
You have a fantastic evening, and thank you for all.
All righty. Well, Mona, she is set in the words of love. Now, getting back to talking about love and friendship, Crystal, are you still there? I think it's going
to
be.
I'm still here. It just takes me a second to get off mute.
Great. So what is it about, you know, friendship that's important to you? We can talk a little bit about that.
What's important? Well, I mean, I think you touched on it earlier, too. You know, the openness is a huge thing. I think also transparency and honesty, but loyalty. So sometimes you need somebody to share something with that you don't want to share it with other people, and you don't want that person to share it with other people. And building that trust and loyalty and knowing that someone is going to be there even just as a soundboard. Maybe you don't need advice. Maybe you just need to tell somebody. I think that's very important too, because we all need to talk about things at some point. And if we talk about them, we can typically process and move through them in more healthy manners. And so if you have friends that you can do that with, I think that that's a really beneficial relationship, and then only continues to build the trust even further.
Yeah, I would say, you know, when I think about friendship, I typically think about a confidant. And I know that of all the people sitting in this room with me right now, there have been things that I have shared with you all in confidence, you know, during certain points that have, I feel like, brought us closer together as friends. So I think that loyalty and confidence is definitely a very important thing. What about friendship is important for you, Leah?
For me, I would have to also agree that loyalty and trust are definitely important. I also think that, again, having a reciprocal friendship with somebody is important, and that's something that I feel that you and I have. I feel like you give to me just as much as I give to you. And so the relationship feels very equal. I don't feel like I'm putting forth more effort into the friendship than you. I contact you as much as you contact me. We tell each other things. And again, the trust and the loyalty, I know I can confide in you for certain things. I know I don't have to be like, hey, please don't repeat this or anything like that. But loyalty is definitely a huge one.
Yeah, I know that, you know, balance is a really important characteristic for a friendship that I look for. I find that, you know, when you get into a friendship, if there's some imbalance there, it doesn't feel quite as right as it does when there is, you know, some equilibrium in a relationship.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely in general. Tamara has something that she wants to chime in.
Yes, I do want to chime in. So it's interesting, you know, I always go back to thinking about when I first experienced things, when you're talking about what does friendship mean to you, it's like I think about my first sort of interactions with friendship, and they weren't necessarily always the most positive experiences, unfortunately. And I think about the stories that I was like kind of passed down from concerned parents, we'll say, and in a way of wanting to protect me from what friends could do, you know, like, and I guess when you're younger and you're first like developing friendships, they're not always made around the most sincere of things. And I think it takes a really consciously evolved, consciously considerate individual to decide to be a real friend, to really be there for you thick and thin. We kind of live in a disposable society, unfortunately. And so most of the time, it's like really hard to find this confidant idea of a friend. So I have these memories of girls I was friends with when I was a kid, and like, you know, unfortunate truth, I don't know that I was really that nice to them. Like, I don't know that I kind of always felt like they didn't really like me. And so it kind of made this excuse to be, you know, to always put myself first in friendships over like working through friendships. And I think of a story that my mom told me, and I hope that my mom's not listening right now. because, you know, it's one of those things that you're like, oh, I never, like, if you were a parent, you'd probably be like, I didn't tell my kids that story. Like, because, anyhow, because it's not necessarily the best story about friends. But I remember when I was in high school, And I was like really going through it, and I was just like, oh, these girls are so mean, crying, and just feeling like my friends were like, you know, would say one thing to my face and then be really dishonest behind my back, and like, you never really knew who to trust. And my mom basically was like, don't trust anybody. Like, I was like, what? She's like, anybody can stab you in the back, even somebody that's telling you they're your best friend. And so, like, I basically went through high school and college and most of, you know, my young adult life feeling that way to about people, like, okay, like, who can I really trust? Because, right, like, there was a truth in that. Like, what my mom was saying, like, people can be as nice as roses to you, to your face, and to everybody. And every can have everybody fooled, like, I'm such a nice person, look at me. And really, they're, like, could be thinking really malicious thoughts, you know? So it's really up to us to be, like, that discern of character. Like, and what, Sky, what you were saying about, you know, what really brings people together is that vulnerability of truth to really, like, cut through it and be like, hey, this is really how I feel, and this is really where I'm coming from. And it's not really easy to do in a world that doesn't do that for you. So it's like, for me, what I've learned is and what I've learned through trainings that I've gone through because of it is, you know, it's really about showing your cards first and being willing to be the vulnerable person first and be like, you know what, this is actually how it feels. I don't really care if you don't, like, that's terrible to say. I don't really care. I do care, but I don't care if you judge me for how I feel. And yeah.
You have to give people the opportunity to do the right thing. So if you want to be able to trust someone, then you have to give them that information and see what they do with it. And you're not ever going to get that unless you make that leap.
Absolutely. That reminds me of something that came out of our conversation last week when we were kind of talking about relationships, intimate relationships, in a really, you know, ebb and flow kind of way. And one of the things that came up was about, you know, being able to trust somebody. And how do you do that? And it's like, well, I think Sadie said it, like, it was a quote by some famous person that said, you know, you just have to trust them and see what happens. And that's, like, really what in friendship what it comes down to. Yep. It's just, like, sometimes scary waters out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely agree with that. I think that you know, the basis of most solid friendships is trust, and I would imagine that sometimes it can be difficult to trust, especially if there are children involved, right? Especially if there's mental health issues involved, you know, with trust. But yeah, I think that trust is a foundation for any loving relationship. And when we talk about, you know, especially on this show, we like to talk about love. And I think that you know, one of the reasons that I felt like friendship would be a good thing to talk about in the context of love is that not all of us have supportive families, not all of us, like, biological families, not all of us have, you know, families in the area that we live, or we don't always have, you know, partners that we can get that kind of love from. And I found that friends can really do that for you. And so, you know, I think that there are a lot of very important things that go along with friendship. So, what about you, Tara? What is it that you, you know, you find important with friends and friendship?
I think this sounds a little bit bad coming off, but I swear it's not. Is for me, it's space.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I feel like it's a little hard to explain on my end. Mm-hmm. Like, there are times when people can violate that space for me, and I'm totally fine. Mm-hmm. And there are times when people violate it, and it feels like my world just crashed in. And I have friends that have an amazing ability to break your boundaries down when you need it done. Mm-hmm. And it is very hard to find people that are good at doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say some of my best friends have that ability to break down your space and, you know, to show up at your door when you need them to and not ask if they can come over. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's a fine line. So yeah. You do that to the wrong person.
Yeah, I actually remember, so Crystal, a couple years ago, I think it was like 2012 or 2013, I got really depressed. I had like this really, really terrible bout of depression. It lasted about 5 or 6 days, and like I didn't get out of bed. And Crystal, she's like, she was there. She was there, like, you know, every day, like texting me or calling me. And like, you know, one day she's like, hey, I want you to come meet this dog, right? Because I was looking for a therapy pet. Crystal, this person that I created this really intimate bond with, friendship bond with, took me to meet this little dog, and I fell absolutely in love with this little dog. I never thought I would ever have a little dog ever. But talking about pushing those boundaries, you know, at that point in my life, I didn't want anyone to be there yet. My friend Crystal was continuously there in my face, checking on me, making sure I was okay. And eventually was the one who helped me get out of my shell. Yeah, so that was a really important part of our friendship, I think, during that time. And I'm, you know, forever grateful for that friend who kept pushing those boundaries and, you know, was like, wake up, it's time to get up. And so I did. I got up. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think, too, that when you have that understanding, you know, when you get that solid foundation of trust, you know, I just want to play off that story really quick because there's also another friend listening right now that is very near and dear to me that lives in Paradise. And, you know, there was a point where there was something hidden from her for a long time. And even though it was hidden from her, she still remained my friend. Even though she was mad at me, even though she was disappointed, she still remained my friend. And I think that when you have that and you know when you can push the boundaries for someone or you know when you can forgive them and you can still have a strong friendship, then you have that. You have built that foundation of trust and you can continue to have a really long-lasting friendship. And I think you also know what Tara was saying. You know when you can push with people that you have built those friendships with. And in that situation with you, you know, you needed that. And I could tell because I knew you and I knew that we had a foundation of trust built. So I too am grateful that I was able to do that.
Yeah, I will, you know, like I said, I will forever be grateful about that experience and being able to have that kind of friendship. So I know, Leah, you had expressed an interest in chiming in.
I was touched by what Crystal was saying about her friend, and I think it's important to note that both parties have to be willing to work on that friendship. So give yourself some credit, too, because, yes, she was willing to forgive and move on, but both people have to be willing to work at that to repair that friendship when something has happened like that. So, yay.
So I have something to add to that too. Crystal, what you were sharing really reminds me of an experience that I had with some guy friends that I have and that are really close to my heart. And some of them may be listening right now. We've grown closer in the time that has provided space. That's definitely part of it. And I, you know, I think that there's a to become family. I think what happens when we are, you know, we are in a really difficult part of our friendship, it's like it can make or break a friendship. And I think like there was a point when I was really angry at these guys and I was just like, I don't think that I can be friends with these guys. I don't even want to be around these guys. Why am I subjecting myself? And it was a really tense time in our friendship. And then I realized that I did still really care really deeply for them no matter what they did. And it was like this aha moment of like, oh, like my family. Like, I have two brothers that, like, you know, I don't talk up to very much. And it was really, yeah, an inspiring moment to know that these people would be people that were in my life for the rest of my life because they had reach that point where a friend, sort of somebody that comes in and out of your life, for me, that, you know, you may see them on when the wind blows sort of thing, but somebody that's in your family, you kind of have this kinship connection to them no matter what happens and no matter what they pull on you or you pull on them, they're gonna be there at the end of it to kind of be like, is everything okay? Yeah, so thank you for sharing.
Yeah, I know that, you know, when I think about friendship, forgiveness is one of those, like, you know, top three really important traits of a friendship. I know that, you know, for me in my 20s, I had a best friend and we our relationship was very rocky, and so we were friends, and we were not friends, and we were really good friends, and then we were not so good friends. I mean, it was always about coming to a place of forgiveness. And I'd say, you know, almost 20 years later, I feel just as close to her as I did, you know, when I met her 20 years ago. And it's not to say that we haven't hurt each other in certain ways, but it's definitely about being able to find a place of forgiveness and, like you said, acceptance for who you are as a human being. You know, we all have flaws. We all have error. You know, we all make bad decisions. We all do things that may not, you know, be the nicest thing at that time. But being able to come from a place of, you know, A, being able to say I'm sorry, which I think a lot of people struggle with, and B, accepting that kind of apology or that, you know, being able to accept where that person is coming from is really important. So I know that, you know, when I'm looking for friends, I'm looking for people who share similar traits, you know, things like being able to find forgiveness, people who like to do the same kind of things that I like to do. And when Tamara was talking about, you know, family and friends, I really, for me, you know, my family is scattered and I find a lot of substance within my friendships. And a lot of those friendships have transitioned into more of a family vibe. You know, just like with Tamara, she's more of a sister than she is just a friend. And so I think that that has been a really important trait in friends that I look for. You know, people have common values, you know, people that, you know, believe in, you know, relationship equality, so that I'm not always doing something for you if you're not always doing something for me. So what kind of traits do you all look for in friends? Crystal, did you want to chime in on that one?
Traits. I'm having a little bit of a block with the word trait. I think you should go to somebody else really quick.
Okay. What about you, Leah? What kind of traits do you look for in a friendship?
I like it all.
I
of course, like, you know, making friends with people that have similar interests in me, but I also really love making friends with people that are different than me because it challenges me and it opens me up to new experiences. You know, before I had met you, I'd never been to a silent disco. What the heck is that? That was the most fun on Halloween I have ever had. And it was just you and me and a couple other people dancing in the sand at the cantina. I've never experienced anything like that, you know, and everybody's like, what was that? What did you go do? And I'm like, I don't even know, but it was awesome. You know, and I think that we are the same in a lot of ways, but we are different in a lot of ways too. So, mm-hmm. And even, you know, even if people have different moral values than me, that's still a challenge to me. It makes me struggle to understand them. And then we get into these deep conversations and that challenged me as a human and encourages me to grow as a person and to be more accepting. So I like it all.
Yeah. And I think that was one of the characteristics we were talking about is, you know, I tend to look towards people who don't try and push me into their value system, but accept me for who, you know, who and what I am.
Right.
I mean, I'd like to say that I'm a fairly open-minded individual. I like a variety of people, but I also think that it's really important for us not to press each other into certain belief systems or certain ways of thinking.
I would agree with that, but I'm very open to like having discussions about it. I want to understand why people think the way that they do, and I might learn something from that, even though like it's okay for me to disagree with them. I can still learn something mm-hmm. from the experience or from the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm having a little bit of a block with like specific traits. So I think like foundationally that the person needs to be a good person. You know, like if I see this person steal or, you know, beating people up or doing crazy things like that, I'm obviously going to be like, whoa, I don't want to be friends with this person. But like Leah said, I actually really like having a wide variety of friends from, you know, doctors to people that are jobless and really understanding different people's perspectives because I think that that's what has me so captivated with people in general. I'm super intrigued by people and it's the diversity that really grabs me and pulls me in. So I would say I'm with her on there could be many, many traits in friends.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that having a variety of friends is good. I think it keeps us on point, right? It keeps life exciting. So if any of our listeners out there would like to give us a call, our number is 530-895-1114. Please call in and chime in on what you think about friendship. Tara, did you want to add something to the conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. I really agree with what Crystal said. I really enjoy people who are authentic and who march to their own drum. So it doesn't matter to me what anything about that person besides the, like, maybe they're curious about life or maybe they have no problem doing something that I would find very embarrassing, mm-hmm. and just doing their own thing and not worrying about what other people think. So it's that, you know, just genuine authenticity in people that I love.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I like most about the people that I call friends. I think that, you know, we're all a little different. And I think that's something that is really exciting and keeps us on our feet. We do have a caller on the line. Jose, would you like to add to the conversation today?
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, ladies, for taking the time to offer yourself to speak on such a wonderful subject. I was calling in because I wanted to contribute my own perspective, and I'm a man, so I'm sad to not have more men there, but I'm sure they would if they were available.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. We're excited to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't get everybody's names, but more importantly than that is the message that we're trying to convey. And one of the last women that spoke was enthusiastically expressing how she's open to all sorts of friendships. And that's the same sentiment that I share, because no matter the different walk of life that we come from, it's important to embrace and accept everybody just as we ought to accept ourselves. And I also wanted to kind of elaborate a little bit on the dynamic of friendship and my own personal experience, because in my own continued growth, I've adopted some disciplines in my life that have estranged me from some of my past friends who I held in very high regard and still do, and very much in esteem. I think about them all the time. But unfortunately, for instance, I've adopted sobriety. And a lot of my past friendships, those people still partake in that. So I used to go around them, and I used to offer myself to that space. But now I still maintain that friendship by embracing their family and taking time to include them in my life, even if it's not directly, but through prayer. And when I see them, to offer of myself, you know, to them and their extended families and things of that nature.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Jose. That oftentimes I too have chosen a different path than some of my friends as far as the sobriety is concerned, and it has definitely changed some of the dynamics of my relationships with others. Leah, I can tell, has something very important to say. So go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I think it's important to remember that some friendships are meant to be in your life for a long time, and some are meant to be in your life for a short time, because we're humans and we grow and we change, and therefore our relationships change. And so some friends you're only going to be friends with for a short while. Not every friendship you make is going to last a lifetime, and that's okay too, because everybody contributes to your life in some fashion or another.
Yes, that's very true. And one of the last callers, she had touched on the importance of love, and I always remind people that, you know, when a friendship maybe isn't what it was, that's no reason that we can't carry that love with us. And with that, it's always an accumulation of love, and we cannot have that for ourselves. And the host of the show, I believe, touched on the fact of for some odd reason, she's not having too many male friends that she used to have. And I just from a male's perspective, in my own point of view, strictly my own point of view, because I can't speak for everybody, but I know that for men, we seek partnership, and sometimes it's very difficult to maintain those relationships with and honoring a woman in your life who you're establishing something with, and really giving them all of your time and all of your sincere emotions, or as much as you can, to build a healthy relationship and still have time for those other women, because maybe it shouldn't be like that. The difference between genders, the relationship dynamic. But I remember I have an older sister, so she enlightened me all the time. She would sit me down, and we would watch When Harry Met Sally, and there was a line in there where the man said that a man cannot be friends with a woman if he doesn't find her attractive. So I don't know how much weight that has, but that just popped into my head right now.
That's actually really an interesting point. So as I was reflecting on the fact that I was unable to find a male friend to join us this afternoon, I was thinking about how men and women typically, they communicate in different ways. I think we talked a little bit about this last week on love and relationship, but women tend to speak from a really more place of connectedness, where we want to feel connected to each other, and men don't typically speak from that same place. So I think that oftentimes women will try and create this place of intimacy, and then some men will back away from that because that's not really what their languages or the way that they communicate to others. And so I know that lately in my life, I have been more expressive about how I feel, the things that I feel. I talk a lot about how I'm feeling and how I'm changing and how I'm processing and thinking. And I kind of wonder if that has an impact on my relationships with the men that I have in my life. You know, I'm not really sure about that, but it would be something for me to explore in the future. Absolutely.
Well, you know, one thing that I would encourage all the women is to just politely remind all men that we come from women. We all have mothers, and or some of us have sisters and aunts. You know, prominent women figures have helped us grow as men, and to embrace the fact that it can be good, and to have all kinds of communication. So I don't want to take up more time, so thank you so much for holding the space that you do right there and volunteering, and hope everybody has a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, Jose. Much gratitude for calling in. We really appreciate your perspective, and thank you for taking the time out of your day to share your experiences with us. I know that, Tara, you look like you had something that you would like to share.
Yeah, I wanted to touch base a little bit on what Jose said about, you know, all the men have mothers. They are in touch with their feelings. I think a lot of the media portrayal of men, you know, what we read in the news, what we see on Facebook, and what we see in movies is that men and women will eventually hook up with each other. Mm-hmm. And my experience, I used to have all male friends. Until recently, just like you, we still have one male friend that's really good friends with us. And I think that there's a problem with when they're in long-term relationships. I think that their partners don't trust that relationship if they're not there with you. And, you know, maybe it's not true, but that's been my opinion, is that it's more on the partner's end of not having the trust.
Mm-hmm. I haven't had that experience. I have a gaggle of amazing male friends in my life. And I think that the way that I've come around that is just to try to establish friendships with their significant others, as, you know, with some loving detachment, because you don't know how long that relationship is going to last and stuff. But that, and maybe I just am really super lucky and I have a bunch of really enlightened men in my life that... We've had some amazing friendships since high school, and they just continue to grow and flourish and be awesome.
Crystal, it sounded like you were trying to chime in.
I just had a question for Tara. Do you think if there are, and maybe it's both, if there are established friendships and then you get into a long-term relationship, or vice versa? You get into a long-term relationship, and it's harder for some people's partner to accept new friendships of the opposite sex with their partner. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that it's the established relationships that people, that, you know, other partners have problems with. As far as new friendships, you know, maybe you don't really know where that's going, but for me, it was more... at least in my own experience, the person not willing to come into your own space and, you know, be a part of barbecues and stuff and all the things that friends do. And so they're creating this distance between you and not willing to break that space.
Okay.
So it sounds like Mona is back on the line. No, she's not. Okay. All right. Well, so... My next question is, you know, so we've been talking about friendships, and there are reasons that I've asked you all to come on the show, some of which is having families, some of which is having some mental health related issues. But I'm wondering, how is it that you maintain friendships? So, yeah, I mean, like, how do you maintain friendships through having, you know, children and working full time and being a single parent?
A lot of that has to do with the amazing people that I'm friends with. They have a lot of patience with my schedule. They understand that my free time is limited. But also, I think it's important for me as a single mom, you make time for the people that are important to you. And that's, you know, they know that my free time is limited. So when I make time and space to see them, you know, they understand that that's not easy for me to do. And a lot of times I end up burning my candle at both ends because, you know, there's just only so many hours in a day and so much that has to get done. And I try to squeeze as much in as I can. And luckily everybody's super understanding about it if I can't. And I drink a lot of coffee.
And you have a hot tub.
And so. I have a hot tub that people like. So a lot of people like to come over and visit me. And sometimes they come over and, you know, again, they join in and I make them a part of my family. My children are good friends with the people that I'm friends with. They often babysit for me. Laura was over Monday watching the kids for me so I could get a bunch of work done, which was awesome and incredibly helpful. But also, you know, I'll tell them sometimes, hey, you know, can you guys come over to my house? Let's do it like at 9 o'clock once the kids are in bed and stuff. And the girls will come over and we'll have wine or whatever. And we'll sit in the hot tub and relax and talk. And so it's just, you know, it's finding a balance. It's making sure that you make time. And it's worth it because when you nurture those friendships, even though I might be tired from, you know, everything that I have going on, you know, I make sure I take a day just for myself and nobody come over. I'm going to go to bed early, you know, take a bubble bath and take care of myself. But then because I nurtured those relationships over the last couple of days, I have all these wonderful memories and experiences and my heart is full and I feel happy, which makes me a better mom.
Yeah. It sounds like there, you know, there's, again, it's reciprocal. It's not just you putting in all the work or them putting in all the work.
Absolutely.
Crystal, what about you? How is it that you maintain friendship through distance? I know that you still have many friends here in Northern California that you continue to talk to, that you continue to visit. And I'm wondering what's it like for you maintaining those long distance relationships?
Good question. So that's pretty tricky for me, actually, because, you know, especially as I was able to start building a network of friends here, which time, and, you know, working 50 to 60 hours a week, it's not easy because I sometimes feel as though I should be giving more at certain times, or I should be more available for the friends that I really have some deep roots with in Northern California. I think that it is an exchange of energy and of balance, but I also think what works really well for me, because that also is something that I get back. Sometimes people can't be there for me when I need them to be, and in order for me to maintain a positive outlook about a friendship, or any relationship, really, including romantic ones, I try as often as I can to bring myself back to having no expectations. Because I cannot necessarily expect something from somebody. If I give a gift to somebody, I may not necessarily get anything back. There's no expectation when I give that gift, and I think that friendship is a gift. So, you know, I think that it is a balance. I definitely agree with everything that Leah said. You know, you have to take care of you first so that you can be there and a good person like me. But I also really try, because I think that that's one of the things that gets me to a place of passing judgment, is if I develop these expectations of another person. So I really try to draw back and keep those expectations either very low or just not have any at all. You know, hey, I'm going to put this out there today, but I'm not going to have any expectations of what I get back. Perhaps I text a friend and tell them I miss them and they don't text me back. That's okay, because I didn't text them to get a text back. I texted them to tell them how I was feeling.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I know that, you know, you and I have gone, you know, weeks without talking to each other. And sometimes it makes me feel a little adrift. But I know that as soon as we start talking to each other, either on the phone or via text message, or, you know, we start sharing music online, that it's like immediately back to the place that we started. And I really value that about our friendship. I feel like oftentimes good friendships, solid friendships, they tend to go back to that state of homeostasis, right? That that mm-hmm. feelings of balance. So I think that it takes energy to maintain a relationship, whether you're far away or you're close. And I really like the idea of not having expectations. I think that expectations can really set us up for failure. If you expect your friend to be there all the time, but they have kids or they struggle with mental health or, they have jobs, then, I think that you're setting yourself up to be disappointed. And who wants to have disappointment in friendship? I don't think that's something that people typically want to have.
My best friend since third grade has lived abroad since high school. She's lived in Venezuela and currently in Cambridge, England, and she just had a baby. And we've been best friends since third grade. So it was really hard at first. But again, having no expectations and then just having really authentic conversations via Skype or when she does visit the States, we fall right back into that pattern. And it's like 5 or 10 minutes of a little bit of awkwardness, and then we're right back in sync where we were, like we were kids.
I love it when that happens.
I was going to say, my best friend as well, we live apart. We don't even live that far, but I just don't travel very well, so it feels really far to me. She may as well be in England. But she makes the time to, she always invites me on trips, whether that's driving across the country, which I've never taken her up on, or just going to stay at a cabin. And she always tells me, I just want you to come. I don't care if you even leave the room. And just that understanding is amazing. And we've always been the same way where, maybe a few minutes of, hey, how are you? And then you just click and you're right back to mm-hmm. your original, how solid you were in your relationship.
Yeah, I feel like, again, that's that basis of trust, that foundation of trust, right? That once you learn to trust somebody, you're able to just kind of take up where you left off. And I know that I really value that in relationships. I have a couple friends like that. For me, growing up, it was really hard to make friends. I was, I grew up here in California for most of my life, and then I was transplanted to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I went from this like really liberal environment to this really conservative environment, and I felt really out of place, and it was really hard for me to make friends. And so as I got older, I struggled with making some friends. And then when I did finally find a group of people that I really identified with, those are the people that I still keep in contact with, almost 20 years later. And I feel very, very grateful and very fortunate to have fallen into relationships with these people, into these loving relationships where I know that they can just kind of start where they stopped, and they just kind of snowball.
There's a few things I want to chime in on here really quick, and that is about the expectations that are arising from friendships. And from my experience, it's hard sometimes with friendships to not have those expectations on people. And then with that expectation, having the loyalty factor, I feel like that card has been pulled on me on different occasions of, well, you're my friend, as in the like being friends with one person prevents you from being friends from another person that the other person doesn't like, especially, and how challenging that can be, and how to find yourself in the middle of that and hold your space and say, I can be friends with both people, and it doesn't have to be a mutually exclusive thing, and it doesn't have to go to this warlike situation between choosing friends. And so it's really uncomfortable place to be at times, but really learning how to be in that is how to learn how to be a good friend to yourself and to other people. And with that, talking about how to not have expectation, but at the same time how to be a good friend and be there for somebody when they're falling apart is really, for me, the dividing line. I can be friends with whoever I choose to be friends with, as well as my friends can choose to be friends with whoever they want to be friends with. But when it comes down to like the mental health issue or to people just falling apart and really needing somebody, we live in a really challenging world again that people need each other. I mean, there's really no way out but to be supported by your loved ones. I work in social work. I see it every day. I mean, I'm essentially paid to be people's family, to be there to help them with the resources. And yes, I'm more knowledgeable about the resources because I've been doing it for so long. But at the same time, what would they really need, that first step, is somebody to look them in the eye and to hold them and tell them that they're loved and it's going to be okay. I mean, that's the first thing I want to hear when I'm going through it, is call my mom and have my mom tell me, like, it's going to be okay, as silly as that sounds. So how do we be a friend to ourselves and do that to ourselves so that we can do that for others? It's a challenging place to be, but as we grow up, it's a worthy place to be. So if you're listening, it's a good idea to think about.
Well, and I know from, you know, having a background in mental health too, that statistically, people who have larger social networks who support them are able to navigate their mental health issues, are able to navigate their family issues, are able to actually navigate life. So I want to thank you all for joining us today. We are just about out of time. Again, thank you, Leah and Tara and Tamara and Crystal. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. I really value and I'm so grateful for all of your friendships, and I hope that we have many years to come.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I hope all of our listeners have a fantastic day, and we will see you next week.
Do no wrong. You got the best friend, sing along. Laughing.